You can imagine student hostel as an exam, something like that. You know, big block, a lot of people living there. So, the windows didn't have bars. Just, you remove the louvers, you are inside the room. So they took advantage of the fact that the corridors were not lit. So they quickly removed the louvers, tear the mosquito netting, and enter. Now, they entered my neighbor's room one day. And as they stepped, in fact, that's the room I used to stay before I moved into the next apartment. As they stepped into, and they cut the net, removed the louvers neatly, one by one, made no noise. But as we were stepping into the room, they stepped on the chair. And the guy used to play chess. So the chess board was on the chair. So they knocked down the chess board and the pieces fell on the floor. And at the quietness of 2, 3 a.m., those small rumblings is like thunder. So they ran away. And he too woke up. He came, woke me up and all of that. And he told me something. He said, "Banky, do you know the door was not locked?" He came from work, lay down and fell asleep. The door was just there. Turn the handle and you enter. But these guys took time to cut net, remove louvers one by one, and were going like a thief through the window that they were. You get what I'm saying? I'm making an issue here. Nobody knows when these things are going to happen. Do you get my point? So you are supposed to just prepare for them, all right? Yeah, I'm saying that nobody, even the thief, didn't know they are not prepared. That's what the Lord was telling us. Let's stop waiting for when the thief calls us before we lock our doors. That's what he was saying. In the application thereof is this for Christians. You don't wait till calamity comes upon you to go and get the oil that solves the problem. See, I was thinking about it again today. All this anointing for breakthrough, miracles, miracle, 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 miracle. I've said it before, it's not what the Lord likes to do. It's like trying to rear your children on medicine. Are you getting what I'm saying? Miracles are medicines. They fall sick, then you give them a medicine to bring them out of sickness. But they don't grow and maintain health by medicine. They grow and maintain health by food. Are you getting what I'm saying? Breakthrough, miracles, they are not food. God uses them once in a while to solve your acute sickness. You enter financial distress, a miracle happens. Are you getting what I'm saying? You're sick, a miracle happens. But what God actually planned is that you eat all the time. And his word is the food. And the wise virgins were those ones who stocked up on the food, which is the word of God. I sat on that verse for quite a while. Let's continue reading. Verse 44 says, "For this reason, you'll be ready too." That's what I've been saying. "For the Son of Man is coming. The appointed time of God for your life and for your generation is coming when you do not think it will." He said, "Who then is a faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time?" That is, he has a responsibility. Now the Lord is now beginning to tell us how people are supposed to prepare. This is how they are supposed to watch. This is how they are supposed to be careful. "Blessed is that servant or that slave whom his servant, who his master finds so doing when he comes." That is, he gave him a job to do at a particular time. Even though the man did not know when the master would come, he was doing it when the master came upon him suddenly. And that was the source of his blessing. "Truly, I said to you that he will put him in charge of all his possession. But if that evil slave says in his heart, 'My master is not coming for a long time,' and then he shall begin to beat his slaves under him and eat and drink with drunkards. Such were they in the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking." Are you getting my point? "Until the day that Noah entered the ark." We read a few verses ago. He said, "The master of that slave," verse 50, "will come on a day when he does not expect and at an hour which he does not know, and shall cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. Weeping shall be there and the gnashing of teeth. Then the kingdom of God will be comparable Still continuing. Forget the verse, the chapter distinction there. To 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Still the same principle. 5 were foolish. 5 wise or prudent. When the foolish took the lamps, they took no oil. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. And while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. Now, let me stop here for a while. God often appears as if he's delaying. Are you getting what I'm saying? God often appears as if he's delaying. In fact, Peter had to explain that it's not as if he's delaying, it is because a day with him is like 1,000 years. He knows what he's waiting for. He's waiting for the accomplishment of certain events. Now, please listen to this. I told you there are 2 overlapping principles here. Seasons come when the preceding season is full or accomplished. When the clouds are full, he says, they pour forth rain upon the earth. That's one principle. That is, God does not release the next season until the previous one has been accomplished. There's a second principle, which is he does not wait forever. Are you getting what I'm saying? He does not wait forever. These 2 seasons, these 2 principles overlap. God appears to be delaying a lot of times. And what people should understand is that he's not wasting time. He has an appointed time, but for him to release, even though the appointed time has come, are you getting my point? The season before that time must be accomplished. Listen, this is what I'm preaching actually today. That we must be ready. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, the time that the Lord is delaying is so that you may be ready when he comes. Because he does not wish that any should perish. He does not wish that any should miss his appointed time. But the appointed time, when it comes, can miss the person. Are you getting what I'm saying? Therefore, he waits for the person to get ready. So that when the Lord comes, the fellow is fully prepared. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, let me say this to you. I told you to go and listen to those messages. How to wait for God. I have to repeat the message again. You cannot hear this thing enough. Let me just continue preaching. All right? There's a way. The Bible says hope that is deferred. All right? Makes the heart sick. But a desire fulfilled is a what? Tree of life. If you are on our mailing list, the first mail I sent, I think was the beginning of this year, was on how to set goals. Let me quickly preach it for about a minute or two. Stop setting goals of things that are not within your power. A woman can say, my goal for next year is that I should have children. Who do you conceive conception? Do you control it? You can't set such a goal. If you are living in Lagos and your husband is in Enugu, it's a good goal. To say, whether they transfer me or not, next year I'm joining my husband in Enugu. That's a seed for conception. Amen? That's a seed. They are sowing a seed. That's a seed. Are you getting my point? You don't set goals on things that are not within your power. You have desires concerning things that are not within your power. You cannot say next year, I am going to sell 20 million as a businessman. It's not within your power. It's not. You go first person buy. If you buy on credit, you want first and pay. Go and read it because I sent the mail out, all right? This is on our mailing list. I've gotten it there. I can go set it. There are stop setting goals on things that are not within your power. You can't set a goal by next year, I must make 25 million. That's what makes hearts sick. You set goals on things that are within your power. What do I mean? Instead of saying, I will sell 20 million, and I say, I will see, that one is within your power. I am going to see 5 new clients every week, whether they want to see me or not. Are you seeing that? After all, knocking on doors is free. Calling somebody, nobody, they charge you. The man will say, for calling me for 3 minutes, you will pay. It is the network that collects their money. You can say, okay, I will see 5 people, hoping that out of every 5, one will jail. And if one jails every week for 50 weeks, maybe that will come to 20 million naira for your business. So that if you see 5 people every week for 1 month and none jails, your heart is still satisfied because you accomplished the goal. What you do is that you sow your seed and allow God to give the increase. You never make goals of the increase. You can only make goals of the seed. So, maybe in my office, I can't determine I must be promoted next year. It's a prayer. These are things you pray about. You kneel down and you ask God. And please, even though you can give God your request, you don't set time for Him. Are you hearing my point? You can make your request to God, but you don't set time. Say, God, by next year, you must do this. God, so can I know they do it. What next? Say, Lord, this is what I want. I want born twins. That's okay. I would like them to come next year. That's a good prayer. Can't make demand. Baba God, next year, I have told you, because I was not listening. What do you want to do? I'm just trying to say something. You pray about those things, but you set goals also with prayer, actually, all right? But on things that are within your control. Let me now go back to what I was saying. I just want to shift that one, by the way, all right? Now, this is why how people's hearts get faint. They set their minds on the coming of the Lord. They set it on it so much they miss the duty that God gave them before He will come. So that even if He were to come, when He will arrive, they will be found unworthy. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's a story I heard long ago. Someone was just going to illustrate the power of love, all right, as being superior to that of faith and that of hope. This is what the fellow said. He said that faith, a man, hope, another person, and love were waiting for the Lord one day. Faith believed that the Lord would come. Hope was looking for the coming of the Lord. Love also believed that the Lord would come. When one poor old man got to the house of Hope, Hope said, please, I'm waiting for somebody. Excuse me, move, move. He can come anytime. Leave here. He drove him away. Then Faith too. The old man got to the door of Faith. Please, can I come in? Faith said, no, please. I believe so strongly that this entrance is for the Lord alone. So please, you will have to excuse me. Then he now got to the house of Love. Love said, I'm waiting for the Lord, but you look cold. We like to eat something. Okay, while I'm waiting, just come inside. Please don't disturb me because I'm waiting. But let me quickly attend to you. As he was attending to him, he discovered that this was the Lord that they were waiting for. Do you get what I'm saying? The Lord, they were waiting for him. But he came in the manner they did not expect. So they missed his coming. But because love, even though it was waiting for the Lord, still had the mind to do his duties for the present time. Are you getting my point? So when the Lord came, even though he did not actively know it was the Lord, he received the Lord. The Bible says, receive angels unawares. And I'm telling you again, the widow of Zarephath did not receive Elijah because of a miracle. She received Elijah because he was really hungry. Go and read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I explained it there. That's why I've told you, Christians, I don't care how many people preach against what I'm saying now. I will continue to say it because Baal can have 450 prophets and Elijah have been the only prophet of God. It makes no difference. He was right, they were wrong. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is what I'm telling you. When you do good works deliberately because of the reward attached, you are wasting time. Let me say one more time. When you do good works because of the reward attached to your wasting time. Because you don't know when God counts and how he counts. At the risk of sounding like a broken down record, I have to continue to say this thing. You can go to church because, listen, God judges you according to the demands he has made of you. Did you hear what I said? His judgment is based upon the demands he made of you. So if God tells you, listen, sweep this floor properly, and you say, I want to go and sweep the house of God. When God comes to judge, the floor he gave you to sweep is dirty. That's what you are going to be judged by. Idolatry is what we practice as Christians these days. We can sweep in church, but we can't sweep at home. They say he's a humble man. What do you mean by he's humble? He can worship God. When he's worshiping God, he will roll on the floor. I've heard it before. He doesn't care whether his claw touches mud when he's worshiping God. That is not a problem. Let an Okada man splash water on him tomorrow. That's when you know who is really worshiping. It's not going to go you. Look, in church, everybody respects that crazy building we call church. I heard what I said. I know what I said. I said crazy building. Because it's a building. It's mortar and brick, iron rod, cement, Dangote, and coal. Are you getting what I'm saying? What makes the church really is the gathering of the people of God. If they gather in Polo Park, Polo Park just got anointed. What am I saying? How will we not miss the coming of God? We don't focus on it. That's what I'm explaining. We focus on the work he gave us to do while he's away. That way, whether he comes now or comes tomorrow, really he doesn't matter. One of the things I discovered from the scriptures is that God loves to occupy people. Let me say one more time. God loves to do what? Occupy people. He doesn't leave them idle. When we say wait for God, that's one thing people don't understand. The waiting of Christianity is not hanging. You know what I'm saying? You just hang. What are you doing? Nothing. What are you doing? I never find work. That doesn't make sense in Christianity. It's not possible. There's work all the time. They may not pay you $500,000 a month, but there's work all the time. There's a place where you are needed. There's a place you can bless people. That is, if you don't come, they know you are not present. They start looking for you. That is work. That's what God has done for us as believers. He occupies. Listen, the Bible says, Solomon said that he occupies people even with gladness. God can make you so happy you don't know about the troubles going on around. Are you getting what I'm saying? God occupies people. He doesn't like people hanging and waiting for him. That's why I don't believe the gospel that said that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Nonsense. Anywhere I am today, I must be fruitful. I must multiply. I must fill the earth. I must subdue it, and I must have dominion. I must be kept busy doing that thing until he comes. God does not judge me according to the results I got. He judges me according to the occupation I had. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. How occupied was I with what he said I should do? Whether I got results or not is besides the point. Why? Because he determines results. I planted. Apollos watered. Paul was speaking. He said, but God gave the increase. So he says, Paul, be occupied with planting. Apollos, be occupied with watering. You don't sit down there and say, hey, has he increased? No. You plant this one and you leave it. Apollos comes, he waters it. Then you keep planting and you keep watering. And you will be busy. By the time you come round again, are you getting what I'm saying? You will discover that they have all increased. And you yourself, the Lord said, will know not how. Are you seeing what I'm saying? I pause there to let you understand something. This is what God does. He occupies people. And let me say it again. That's how we wait for God. We identify the assignment for now. And we are occupied with it. And hey, let me just say it quickly. Let's continue reading. So many things to say. Where did I stop? There was a place where I paused and started talking plenty. Verse what? Okay. So I said, the bridegroom was delaying. They all got drowsy and began to sleep. I said, God often looks as if he's wasting time. And in that process, when God looks as if he's not coming quickly, people start losing heart and they begin to fall asleep. But listen to me, a time will come when the shout will come. Because the Bible says at midnight, there was a shout, behold the bridegroom, come out and meet him. I need to explain this. Of course, you know the rest, let me just quickly read it and I will explain. Then, of course, all the virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, then the foolish ones found out that they didn't have enough oil. The wise ones still said to them, quickly go and get more oil. And then come back. Now, this is what I want you to understand. If you look around, generally, you know, they've said this several times before, that these churches are full of young people. You notice that? Generally, please, try and follow what I'm saying and not misunderstand me. When people have received light, I mean as a people, as a nation, you understand? Like Nigeria now, as an example, in southern Nigeria particularly, and most of Nigeria, the gospel is in the air. Are you getting my point? It's in the air. It's in the air. It's in the air. Please don't misunderstand me. The times... God, please, let them not misunderstand, whoever is hearing this. The time of hearing that the 70-year-old man just gave his life to Christ, is going to be very rare. If he did not give his life to Christ when he was 30, 40, 50, it's very few. I'm not saying impossible. Very few of them is giving their life to Christ at 70. Those days, that gospel was for when everybody was in darkness. And so as light came, it met them at different seasons, all right, different ages. But that you have been roaming around this country, you've not heard the gospel, you have heard it. But now you're at the age of 50, you have not believed, you're a wicked soul. I'm going somewhere, please. Now, listen to this. So generally, it's young people that God calls. That's what I'm going to explain. So you start telling stories of when we're on campus or shortly after that. Generally, people are in their teens, early 20s, you know, mid-20s. And then they believe a gospel. In that generation, listen to this, midnight will come. What do I mean by midnight? Most of the things they believed would not manifest on time. Did you hear what I said? Midnight will come into each generation. It's not because, I talked to a man of God some time ago. He said when he was a student. In fact, I don't want to start mentioning names. A lot of preachers you know now, they were all contemporaries. He would tell you that, if I told me the story of once he went to Abba to go and preach, from campus, University of Benin, he went to Abba to go and preach as a student. Then crusades, that's what these boys were preaching in. He said, there was a time he put up his hand and just said, he didn't know what he wanted to do. Let us pray. Put up his hand and said, Holy Ghost. He didn't even know what he wanted to do or wanted to say. He just said, Holy Ghost. As he said it, some guys had come there to cause trouble. They caught fire. That is, not physical fire, but they started burning. They started running and running through windows. People were disappearing through windows. He said, Holy Ghost. There's one person this time was telling me stories. When he started a church in Enugu, then he went to Lagos. He mentioned one prominent person in Nigeria. There was a day they were talking. And he laid hand, I think they had an argument or something about something. So he wanted to prove a point to the guy, told the guy to come. And he laid hands on the guy, all right, to prove to him that the power of God is real. The next thing he knew, he didn't find the fellow again. He just saw his shoes there. The guy rose up into the air and flew backward and fell behind there. How he knew the guy had to rise up was that his shoes were just intact where they were. No, I'm serious. This other man I was telling you about said, when he left school, something happened. Everything just went dry. Now, get my point. Everything went dry. He was wondering, what's going on? It's as if God gives each generation a foretaste of what his power that will manifest in them is going to be like later. And he allows them to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Why does he do it? That's when he starts separating those who were entertained and they were enjoying it, and those who had real substance. Those who filled their lamps. Do you get my point? There are those that when God is moving, listen, the movement, you know what I mean, the move of God often is a distraction if your heart is not correct. When God appears, mountain will catch fire. Elijah. You will see rock breaking, thunder, everything. But Elijah said, God is not in all those things. Being an experienced man walking with God, he saw thunder. He was not distracted. He saw fire. He wasn't distracted. Rock break. Break if you like. This is in Japan with it. You know, he wasn't moved. He focused. Then in the midst of all of that, he now heard this still, small voice. God began to communicate with him. When you see too much noise, be afraid. I said, when I'm talking, please be careful. I don't want to be misunderstood. But go and see the Lord Jesus Christ. When the multitude gathers, he tells them a few stories. Then he moves back to the selection of disciples and begins to tell them truth. You can't preach truth when there are 7 million people looking for a miracle in front of you. It shall be well with you, amen. It shall be well with you, amen. If you believe it, say amen, amen. 25 will get healed. Everybody go home. No, look. I'm talking to Christians, not Muslims, amen. Amen. Are you a sinner? You're not a sinner, so what I'm saying is true. I mean, I'm calling you to a deep walk with God. That's what I'm going to explain. All right? Now, I'm bringing an issue here. So, when the noise flares up, there will be some quiet. Are you getting my point? What they call the eye of the storm. Before the next one hits, that is when everybody falls asleep. Those who don't have oil, that's when their oil starts getting spent. It starts finishing. Then they start devising methods to keep the thing appearing as if it is still there. That is when preachers backslide. They cannot accept that dark times come, even in ministry. It doesn't mean you're a sinner. It just means that things are not always woo, woo, woo. Plenty of noise. You can leave campus where you are the big champion preacher. You come out, nobody knows your name. They don't want to hear you. But this is the thing. There is always something to keep you busy if your eye is not fixed on that coming of the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? God will always give you something to keep you busy. To keep you occupied. And you are going to be judged when he comes with how you occupy that one. That's what I'm explaining. When I'm talking about how to wait for God. You are believing God for a big business. He has given you a job. The money is not much. If they don't prosper in that company because of you, no big business is coming. Just by the way, you know Fela Duro Toye? How many of you know, if you know Fela Duro Toye, say amen. Amen. Men like Fela Duro Toye, they are plenty, what am I by plenty? Blessed men. You get my point? Not only him, people who are blessed generally. Unfortunately, people don't like to hear full stories. They want to hear that the man said, when I started my company, my bedroom was the office. I would remove mattress in the morning. Do you get my point? And then we'll set up table. And then I went from here. I borrowed computer and I used this. People don't ever want to hear that long before that, he made one man called Mr. Phillips rich. He worked for Phillips Consulting. And he was there making that man rich. You think he just woke up one day in an empty room with only a mattress and started saying, I call prosperity. I call prosperity. Prosperity. Come, go and ask him. how long she spent in Ife. I think on campus somewhere doing something for a year and a half or so.